Welcome to the Vanessa G Fitcast. If you think eating less is the answer to getting lean, or that you have to choose between having donuts and wine or having a body you love, well then girl, you are in the right place. Chances are you've fallen victim to diet culture's terrible advice on how to eat and exercise. But don't worry, this podcast is going to bring you actionable information so you can start transforming your body without giving up your life. I'm Vanessa Gillette, founder and head coach of Vanessa G Fitness and Nutrition. This podcast was born from my passion for helping all women create bodies they feel confident in. Thank you for tuning in and trusting me to support and guide you. Now let's do this. Welcome back to the Vanessa G Fitcast. I'm Vanessa Gillette, and here with me is, as you can probably guess, our most recurring guest, our own lovely head coach, Miss Alex Long. Alex, how are you today?
I am doing fan-freaking-tastic, Vanessa. I love being on the podcast. So good to see you again.
We love having you on the podcast. You are such a wealth of knowledge, and this one has been a long time coming. Today, we're talking all things gut health. Doesn't really sound like a very sexy topic, but this one is incredibly impactful for so many women if we take that time and really talk about this. And I can really speak from experience here, which I know we're going to talk about as well in terms of my own issues with gut health.
Yeah, absolutely. I think gut health and even just the topic of poop is so taboo, but it really is such an indicator of our underlying health, our physiology, and it's important to talk about, and I really want to break the stigma that it doesn't have to be gross, it doesn't have to be weird. It's very important, and a lot of women that we work with struggle with chronic problems like bloating, constipation, diarrhea, all these things, and it's like, they just assume that's normal, but it's not. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about it today.
Exactly. It needs to be talked about more. And, you know, we talk about this so much with our coaching, with our clients. And it's funny because I think right off the bat, clients are always a little bit like nervous when they're like, oh, like, I don't really want to talk about my poop. That's weird. And then we start asking them questions and really normalize it. And they're like, oh, wow, like nobody's ever talked to me about this. Like not even my doctor. And like, they realize that that's not normal and that this could be a sign of something greater. And maybe that's the reason why I haven't been able to lose weight all this time. And just like, you can see all the knowledge bombs dropping and it's really, really fun to see. So let's maybe talk a little bit, you know, Alex, we've had podcasts already in the past where we talked about my adrenal health. We've talked about my issues with cortisol. We've talked about how I've had the Dutch test, and we've really looked at both cortisol and sex hormones there. But we haven't really taken the time to talk much about my GI issues. So would you like to maybe, you can share from your own perspective what it was like of going back from the very beginning when we first ordered a GI map?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's interesting because we have talked so much about your cortisol and how stress has affected your cortisol and your Dutch test and the sex hormones, but it really all started with your gut issues, with your bloating and diarrhea after you ate breakfast every morning. No matter what you ate, you were struggling with it so much and you just didn't understand why. So you were like, I remember you messaged me, you were like, hey, I have kind of a personal question for you. And then of course I just dive right in, like, tell me about your stools, tell me about your symptoms. You know, I know you track your food, you know, very well, very accurately. So I'm trying to like look at your food logs and get to the bottom of maybe any food sensitivities that you had. And at the time, I was also just diving into my journey as a functional nutrition provider, kind of learning about the Dutch test, learning about the GI map. I had no idea what a GI map even was when I first became a registered dietitian. And it wasn't until I started diving deeper into these, you know, higher level concerns with you and with a couple of other clients as well, and really just wanted to continue my own education, I realized that this was an incredible tool, an incredibly effective tool at getting to the root cause of these imbalances and these symptoms that seem random, seem like they're not tied to a specific food or you're doing everything right and something is still wrong. A GI map is essentially an at-home stool testing kit that I ordered to your house. And you had mentioned, you were like, it was a very humbling experience. It's a very uncomfortable experience, but you essentially had to send a stool sample back to the lab. And then it gave me this like 12-page PDF that detailed, you know, every single microbe, both good and bad. It looked at, you know, different parasites and even different markers of inflammation. And this was the first time I really had to make sense of it all was for you. And it forced me to learn, which was awesome because I was able to kind of see, okay, you have an H. pylori infection. So that alone could be a contributing root cause to a lot of your symptoms. We know that H. pylori, it's a bacteria. It's a pathogenic bacteria. It's present in a lot of people's guts, but yours was incredibly high, like very, very high numbers off the charts. So that in combination with a couple of other imbalances that we saw on the GI map, you had an overgrowth of other pathogenic bacteria like Streptococcus in your intestines and not enough good bacteria, the bacteria that we might see on like probiotic labels, for example, like the bifidobacteria, for example. And that was causing a lot of imbalances, that was causing a lot of damage to your gut lining. H. pylori can actually decrease HCl production, which you and I had talked about that a lot because I was like, it seems like you're just not digesting and absorbing your food, causing, mm-hmm. you know, or contributing, I should say, to your fatigue, to, you know, your diarrhea, because if you have undigested food particles enter your intestines, basically our body's going to pull a bunch of water in and try to like flush it all out. And that shouldn't have been happening, but we were able to identify, okay, let's treat this infection, which we know infections also cause a lot of chronic inflammation and chronic inflammation increases cortisol. And then we got your Dutch test results back. We're like, oh, this makes sense. Right. It all connects. So I'm really happy that we kind of just dove headfirst into that. Mm-hmm. And, that was my perspective. I know I, you know, right away kind of gave you some strict protocols and a bunch of different supplements in addition to the supplements that I recommended once we got the Dutch test back. But I'm curious how that went for you and what it was like getting the GI map and kind of hearing, you know, me able to sort of draw connections to all of these different things, put all the puzzle pieces together and then implement these protocols, you know, on your end.
Oh my gosh. Like you guys, I cannot even stress how incredibly just reassuring that process was because, you know, as a health professional myself, as a nutrition coach, as a fitness coach, that's something where gut health almost feels like the wild, wild west, where it is so intricate. It is so honestly confusing at times because there's honestly very little good information out there about gut health. It can be very confusing to try and self-diagnose. There's contradictory advice. And when you have these symptoms of like, okay, I know something is not right here. Like I had shared with Alex, which that's part of a working in a health and fitness company is you can reach out to one of your team members and be like, yeah, I'm having diarrhea after breakfast every single day. Like, help me, please. That's kind of how it looks when you work at BGFN. But anyway, so I'm the type of person where, you know, my whole life, as long as I can remember, I feel like I've struggled with some form of, I guess you could say, stomach problems. I primarily struggled with just inconsistency in my bowel movements, with primarily constipation. Like, I can tell you that anytime I traveled, I would pretty much not poop the entire time I'm traveling. And it, even if it was like a longer trip, it was terrible because then you're like away with your friends or something, trying to enjoy yourself. You want to wear the cute outfit you packed on the trip. But at each day, as the trip goes on, you're just getting more and more bloated and uncomfortable and feeling awful because you're just getting more and more constipated each day. And those types of things were almost something that I was just like, that's just the way I am. You know, it kind of runs in my family. Like, seems like all the women in my family, even my aunts, like everybody talks about like these same things. We're just like, oh, that's just the way we are. And so I was able to just kind of normalize it of just being like, oh, that's just the way I am. I probably don't really have a fix for it other than doing the simple things I know, like keeping my fiber consistent, not eating too much or too little, keeping my hydration right. Those types of more basic tips, which do help a lot of people and which would help me often, which is keeping my constipation under wraps when I'm at home. But last year, things just got worse and worse, where I started struggling with back and forth between constipation and diarrhea, which I had never had diarrhea really consistently like that before. And I got to a place where, you know, I love breakfast. It's my favorite meal of the day. And I would have like great, you know, either oats or eggs or just different awesome things. And every single thing, no matter what it was I was eating, I would start to end up with diarrhea afterwards. And I hope that our listeners are not getting sick already of the amount of times that I'm talking about my bowel movements. But, you know, it was happening every single day, and it was miserable, terrible. And I was getting really upset too, because I was taking myself through an elimination diet, eliminating out any possible thing that I thought could potentially be a trigger. Egg whites, you know, egg yolks, like the oats themselves. I used different types of oats. I tried, you know, different fruits. I tried taking out the vegetables in my eggs. Like I tried removing everything and then just like having basically like one item of food for breakfast and like trying to go from there. I still was having the diarrhea. And so I was like, all right, this is not an issue of a food sensitivity. There is something deeper going on here. I can't self-diagnose myself with this, and I can't continue to live like this because this feels terrible. So that's when I reached out to Alex for help. And I am so, so freaking glad I did, because that really started us on a journey of fixing these things. And, you know, then I got to hear really cool words from Alex. Like, I don't even know how you say some of the different bacteria in the gut. Clearly, it's not my expertise, but, you know, it's fun when you start learning more and more about the wild, wild west of gut health.
Yeah, it's fun to teach you. It's fun to teach our clients and our coaches, too. And I'm really happy that you were so open to doing that more in-depth testing, because you're right. Like, from my perspective, you weren't eating gluten. You weren't eating dairy. You were eating lots of nutrient-dense foods. You were eating what you thought was your maintenance calories, and nothing was helping. And I even remember you talking about that at the IFCA conference in January when we traveled. By like day three, you were like, I look like I'm 6 months pregnant because I'm so bloated and constipated. And, you know, for anyone out there listening that travels a lot and is experiencing the same thing, it's not normal. You don't have to live like that. Like, let's get to the underlying root cause, especially if you are someone that is already doing the things like walking after meals, drinking more water, consistently eating fiber, and you're like, every time I travel, I still can't poop. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, because you don't have to live like that. And I'm curious what your thoughts are on this as well, Vanessa, but I remember, you know, once we reviewed your GI map and I got you on the right supplements, we started working together, got you the Dutch test back, got you on some more supplements and some, you know, dietary protocols, some lifestyle stress management protocols. I remember probably by like week four-ish, I would say. Now, it's not realistic to expect like all of your symptoms just suddenly disappear after 4 weeks of like, oh, now I'm taking these supplements. I know what's going on in my gut and I'm treating it and everything's great now. No, it was definitely like an up and down journey, just like all of our clients' journey. But I remember being able to identify in your check-ins, actually, you had those bouts of diarrhea and or constipation, even after we were, you know, getting you on the right protocols, the right supplements, et cetera, only after you were having really stressful weeks. Like,
yep.
It was check-in after check-in after check-in. I'm like, you know, rated your stress a 9 out of 10 this week. And what do you know? You had diarrhea after every meal followed by constipation. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, you had a less busy week. You did your yoga, you started implementing meditation, breathing exercises, getting more sleep. And for the first time in how many years, you had came to me and said, oh my gosh, like my gut, like I'm not constipated. I'm having regular bowel movements. And you were so excited. Like, how did that feel?
Well, it physically feels incredible to have regular bowel movements, but you know, I'm so glad that you pointed that out, because I can tell you, like, as a someone who's very emotionally invested in their work, like my business is my baby. Coaching people is a huge aspect of my life. And I can very easily allow that love and that passion to consume me. And while, you know, I did many times have the self-awareness to say, okay, my stress was realistically a 9 out of 10 this week. But a lot of times I wouldn't necessarily step back and be like, oh, I'm so stressed. This is terrible. Sometimes I would just be like, man, like I'm having a busy week and like, this is kind of fun. I'm dealing with this thing over here and then I'm talking to clients over here and then I'm having, you know, recording podcasts over here and just bouncing from one thing to the next. And sometimes you can get that just like adrenaline rush from doing that. And in the moment, it feels really good. And then I would have those physical symptoms where I would pause and, you know, it actually, it's funny because, you know, like we were talking about in the past, it largely showed up after I ate breakfast. Whereas then as we progressed on, it really started to show up in me eating lunch. And I knew, I spotted the pattern. And this was something that really helped in even just being able to reflect on my week and share these things with you. I could then pick out the pattern and say, okay, I can see that I was consistently having diarrhea again after lunch. And I can tell that that's happening because on those days I would be rushing from one meeting to then say, okay, now I'm going to eat this lunch really fast. And then I'm going to jump into the other meeting, or maybe I'm eating at my desk and I wouldn't take the time to say, okay, I'm going to take this lunch break. I'm going to take my lunch. I'm going to go do a minute of deep breathing to really slow my nervous system down and bring me into that rest and digest state. And then I'm going to eat my lunch in silence or listening to something, you know, like a really relaxing podcast, not something that's going to like get me revved up of thinking about work. And I would then just take a little bit of time and then I'd go for a nice gentle walk outside with Zoe. And then I would resume my work and then I would be fine. I would not have any of the same issues and it could be the exact same meal. And that's really what showed me that stress management is everything as well when it comes to gut health. You can't just throw the right supplements on and just expect everything to be fixed if you aren't also managing your lifestyle and your behaviors and your habits too. And that's something I really, really needed to be reminded of from you, Alex, and something that on a weekly basis, you're still reminding me of. It's still a work in progress. Right before this podcast, guess what? I had two calls back to back and I had 10 minutes before this call and it's past my lunchtime. So guess what? I ate my lunch in front of my computer as I was talking to Alex hopping on this call. I'm not perfect. We're all busy women. Things happen where you're not going to just always have a perfect life, but it's about taking the moments and looking for the wins where you can get them. I did take a couple of deep breaths before I started eating. I have learned things that even on the busiest days like today, I can still say, okay, stress management is still important to me and I need to make sure that I'm doing these things for the sake of my gut health.
Absolutely. And I love to hear that because you're right. It's not about being perfect, but it is about seeing progress and learning those patterns, identifying those patterns and figuring out what works for you. And it's amazing just to see how far you've come in what the last 6-7 months that we've been working together one-on-one as coach to client. Your gut health, your stress management, your lifestyle, and just your body's ability to respond to those stressful days and to be resilient on these stressful days. Like night and day difference. And it's crazy how interconnected our gut health is to the rest of our body, the rest of our hormones. If you listened to our adrenal podcast, part 1 and 2, I know we talked about that. When we do feel stressed, when we are in that fight or flight, sympathetic nervous system is in overdrive and cortisol increases, blood actually is shuttled away from our digestive tract. We are not going to be effectively digesting or absorbing nutrients. And that's going to cause a whole host of problems on its own. But now because of the work that you've put in and that we've done together, now every once in a while, when you have a day with, you know, back-to-back meetings and things, I would be willing to bet that just because of how resilient your body is now, and just because of those really, really small changes that you have made consistently over time, like breathing before meals, you probably won't have diarrhea after this podcast.
I guess we'll find out if I need to hit a pause in the podcast and take a run to the bathroom. Stay tuned. But, you know, let's switch gears here a little bit, Alex, because I don't want to just talk about my own specific gut health issues and processes and things. I want to really make this podcast helpful and actionable for everybody because there is such a range of different ways that gut issues can show up for different people. And maybe some people listening don't struggle with, you know, diarrhea or constipation, but maybe they struggle with things like bloating or like acid reflux or different things like that as well. So I guess, can you maybe talk a little bit more about some of these things, where they come from, and you know, maybe we start with bloating specifically. Where does bloating come from and what can we do about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Bloating is a super common one, and I love to talk about it because it often gets confused with just regular feelings of fullness. And yes, while bloating is defined as abdominal distension and usually pain along with that, it is very normal, very, very normal. And I would be concerned if your stomach wasn't doing this, but after you eat, especially after eating a larger meal, your stomach is going to distend. Like, you guys might wake up and look at yourself in the mirror and have the morning skinny, right? Where we are basically just empty and dehydrated and our stomach looks nice and flat. And then by the end of the day, after dinner, we look at ourselves in the mirror and we're like, oh my God, I look 3 months pregnant. What is wrong with me? Nothing is wrong with you. You just have food in your stomach and in your intestines. And that's very normal. But true bloating is often accompanied by very severe pain. And it'll be like extreme distension. Like, you're not looking 3 months pregnant. You're looking 6 months pregnant after a snack in the morning. And it just feels very tight. Often like you have gas trapped in your stomach. And usually it's fullness, like fullness after a meal is usually confined to like your upper GI region where your stomach sits. But bloating a lot of times is in your intestines because it's a result of excess gas or excess fermentation or excess waste in your intestines. So it feels a little bit lower. If you are experiencing like chronic bloating, like I've had clients that just feel like their stomach is constantly distended. It's painful to the touch. They feel puffy and inflamed everywhere, no matter what they eat. That's definitely a big concern, big red flag. I would highly recommend a GI map. If you are experiencing that kind of severe bloating and pain only after one particular meal, or maybe it's one particular food, I would definitely recommend starting to keep a very detailed food log and a detailed symptom log. I know we did that with you for a little bit. You were tracking your meals in MyFitnessPal, but also like writing your symptoms down after every meal and what time you ate, what time the symptoms showed up. And, you know, working together with a healthcare professional or a registered dietitian, we can kind of start to identify those patterns and see if it is a food sensitivity. But usually the root causes to true bloating, it's going to be gas. And sometimes it's going to be gas as a result of constipation. If constipation is actually the root cause, constipation can cause bloating because the longer your stool sits in your intestine, the more fermentation from the bacteria that's growing in there occurs. And with fermentation, gas production, right? Those bacteria are just like eating away at the fibers, the undigested fibers, and that's producing a lot of gas. And if you're not actively moving that stool through your system, it's just kind of going to build up, and you're going to feel even worse.
That's when the silent killers come out.
So true. That's so true. And even just little things like carbonated beverages or sodium, like an increase in sodium intake can cause you to retain more water, feel a little bit more bloated, can definitely contribute. But stress, we know stress is a huge, huge factor, and chronic stress can cause chronic bloating. Sometimes small changes in our hormones towards the end of our cycle can just increase our body's water retention, sodium retention. Again, that can lead to bloating. But usually I would say the biggest culprits for our clients, especially, are stress, constipation, and, you know, really just poor food quality or poor, like, I don't want to say poor, but just like
inconsistent.
Inconsistent food quality. Yeah. Inconsistent fiber intake, you know, things like that.
Absolutely. Yep. And I can speak, you know, I struggle with bloating for a long period of my life as well. And it was something that you don't realize that you're struggling with it until you realize that you don't have it anymore. You start to just think that that's the way you are. Sometimes you mistake it even for just added body fat, or you just feel like, oh, this is just the way I'm built. Maybe I'm bigger boned. And you don't realize until you fix the bloating and you realize like, oh my gosh, I actually suddenly look leaner and I haven't lost weight. All I've done is just change up these simple things and I look and feel so much better. So getting your bloat under control can be just life changing.
Yeah. And sometimes it really, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Please add what you were going to add.
Oh, I was just going to say, to go off of that, like with bloating specifically, sometimes it really is as simple as keeping track of your food, right? Having a third set of eyes on things to see like, oh, you're not eating enough fiber, or, oh, maybe let's decrease the sodium intake a little bit, and getting consistent in that along with drinking more water, and maybe even something as small as taking a few deep breaths before meals to kind of calm your nervous system. Those three things alone can drastically improve your bloating. So it doesn't have to be, you know, as severe as an elimination diet or a GI map. Like, I would definitely start with the basics first.
Yeah, absolutely. So start with those simple things. And if you're still struggling with this stuff, absolutely reach out to a professional for help, because there may be something deeper going on that needs a little bit more analysis. So now let's talk about constipation. We've talked about this a little bit already in terms of my own specific struggles in the past with constipation, but talk to me about what really is constipation? Because I think a lot of people even get confused and may not even recognize that they actually have what is considered constipation.
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So a lot of people think that constipation is exactly what you described earlier in this podcast. Oh, I went away for a weekend, I didn't poop for 4 days. That's severe constipation. But true constipation, like, you should be pooping every other day at minimum, preferably every day. That's an amazing, amazing sign of a healthy gut, healthy GI tract, is if you're pooping daily, and usually you'll poop at regular times. Some people might notice that if they're not in their house at 8 a.m., they're out, you know, and about doing something else, then they don't poop until later in the day. And that's pretty common, because just like we have our circadian rhythm, our gut has a circadian rhythm too. Our gut is on a schedule. So you should be pooping every day, preferably at the same time of day, but it's not always that optimal. If you've ever heard, maybe you've never heard, maybe you've never talked about poop before, so this is just a big learning lesson for you. I love it. I'm here for it. But the Bristol stool chart, that's actually something that I really didn't learn about until I became a registered dietitian either. So I wouldn't be surprised if you've never heard of it. But the Bristol stool chart, if you look it up, it's essentially just a tool to identify the type of stools that you're having. And it's a tool that healthcare providers can use to help identify the root cause of why you're experiencing what you're experiencing. So if you look at that chart, a type 3, type 4 stool is very, very normal, very optimal. It's soft, it's easy to pass. But if you're having like type 1s, type 2s, like those really hard to pass, like it's painful, it's not complete, you know, those pebble stools that I know you've had, Vanessa, that is also a form of constipation. That should not be happening on a regular basis. So definitely start paying attention to how it actually feels when you go to the bathroom, because it should feel pretty easy.
Yeah, it should be enjoyable. But I love the Bristol stool chart as well, because, you know, it's something where I know a lot of women are just not as comfortable as you and I are, Alex, with talking about their poop. And it's something where with clients, I always like to point them to the Bristol stool chart and say, hey, like, just talk to me. Tell me like what number you've been going recently, and just tell me that much. And that gives me so much information to move forward with, because sometimes it might be something simple. Maybe we are having a little bit more of type 1s and type 2s lately, and you didn't realize that maybe you're drinking a little bit less water right now. Or it could be just even where you're at in your cycle, that you're a little bit more dehydrated, you need a little bit more water than what you normally would have. And it can be a very simple change, but it is, I'm speaking from experience here, it's incredibly hard to spot those things in yourself. It really does take that second set of eyes to be able to look, identify, and say, hey, here's a slight tweak we can make that is actually a very simple change, but it's going to be probably life-changing for you. So Alex, what are some of those different changes and, or maybe just different things that people can do if they're struggling with constipation right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Super simple. Not drinking enough water, or at least starting to like track your water and see how much you're drinking, start drinking more consistently, would be an awesome first step. And I don't want you guys to think that immediately out of the gate, you have to drink a gallon of water per day. Start with where you're at. Meet yourself with like where you're at. If you're only drinking 50 ounces, shoot for 80. That's going to be a huge improvement, and it's probably going to help a lot. Start there and get consistent with that small habit. The other thing Definitely. I know, just like in your check-ins, Vanessa, it always comes back to stress. Because like I said, when cortisol is high and blood is shuttled away from the digestive tract, GI motility is going to slow down too. So if we can get our stress management under control and feel a little bit more consistent in that and in our stress management practices throughout the day, not just in the morning and at night, but throughout the workday too, that will probably help your bowel movements get more regular, start pooping at the same time of day, have it be easier to pass, have adequate digestion and nutrient absorption without too much fermentation, right? And the other, like, I guess the third most important thing to really look at is your fiber, but specifically the type of fiber that you're eating. So I'm excited to talk about the differences. I know after this, we want to chat about diarrhea really quick, but the type of fiber that you are eating is really important, and base it off of the type of stool that you're having. So I say that because with constipation, right, we're backed up. Our stools are very hard. They're not very liquidy, right? Insoluble fiber is going to be your best friend when it comes to alleviating constipation. And so insoluble fiber is exactly what it sounds like. It's not dissolvable in water and our body does not digest it. That's going to be the primary fiber that is fuel for our gut bacteria. But since it does not pass through our system, it kind of acts as a broom for our intestines. I'm going to get super weird with you here. Have you ever eaten corn on the cob? Right? It goes right through us. It goes right through us. That's insoluble fiber. It literally goes right through us, as it should. And when we're constipated, if we start increasing our intake of things like wheat bran, whole grains like brown rice with the bran intact, green vegetables, leafy green vegetables like lettuce, spinach, kale, increase your intake of insoluble fiber and water at the same time, it will be a absolute blessing the next time you go to the bathroom, I promise. And it's actually really funny. When I got my, he's going to hate me for talking about this on the podcast, but when I got my husband to start eating more vegetables and eating more salads on a regular basis, that was actually something he said. He's like, I am immediately going to the bathroom right after eating these salads. I'm like, yeah, because you haven't eaten insoluble fiber at all in your life. And you didn't even realize that you were constipated and now you're not. And it's a big difference.
What is it with men too? I feel like they always struggle with digestive issues and they just don't think anything of it. And they're just like, oh, I know. Yeah. Like this is normal until they have their significant other fix it for them. And
exactly.
I can relate there.
Exactly.
So, all right. We've talked about constipation. We've talked about bloating. Let's talk about diarrhea. So tell me a little bit of what actually constitutes diarrhea in somebody, Alex.
Absolutely. So diarrhea is caused by a number of factors. It can be increased GI motility, you know, things moving too fast through your system. It can be identified on the Bristol stool chart as like type 5s, type 6s. Just overall, very loose, very watery stool. It doesn't have to be completely liquid, but it's not, you know, one solid swoop, if you know what I mean. And this can also look like, you know, if you're going once a day and it's super watery, that would be diarrhea. But for a lot of people, it can also be going multiple times a day. And maybe one bowel movement in the morning is normal, but another bowel movement in the afternoon is, you know, a type 5 or type 6. That would be, you know, moderate diarrhea as well. And a lot of people, a lot of clients that I specifically work with, describe an increase in GI motility around the time of their cycle. We call them period poops. And I mean, seriously, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. Their stool will often be looser and you'll be going more frequently around the time of your period because right before you actually start menstruation, your body releases prostaglandins. It's not just about estrogen, progesterone decreasing. You're also releasing prostaglandins, which are designed to cause contractions. Contractions in your uterus to help shed the uterine lining, but also contractions in your smooth muscles, i.e. your intestines, which increases the speed at which things move along. So it's common to go a lot more frequently around the time of your cycle, but we still want to try to optimize your diet, optimize your stress management, optimize your fluid intake to get those bowel movements, even if they are more frequent, to get them to look more like type 3s and type 4s, if that makes sense. I know I briefly touched on this in the beginning of this podcast, but diarrhea can also be caused by undigested food. If your HCL production in your stomach is really low for one reason or another, and your food is not fully broken down by the time it hits your intestines, that's not normal. Our intestines are not meant to digest food. Our stomach is meant to digest food. So if you have these big food particles entering your intestines, that's going to cause a lot of gas production, a lot of inflammation, and a lot of water being pulled into that intestine, you know, to try and, like I said, flush everything out. And that's going to cause diarrhea. So it's all connected. It's all connected. And I had mentioned, you know, insoluble fiber versus soluble fiber. So when you have diarrhea, soluble fiber is going to be your best friend. Eating more things like broccoli and kale and lettuce and insoluble fiber is probably going to make things worse. It's just going to go right through you. But soluble fiber actually dissolves in water. If you've ever put chia seeds in a cup of water and then, you know, you leave them overnight or something and then they gel up into chia pudding, that's exactly what soluble fiber does in our intestines. So chia seeds, ground flax seeds are amazing sources of soluble fiber. Toast, you've probably heard of like the brat diet when you have a stomach ache, when you have diarrhea. Bananas, again, plain white rice with the bran removed, just to sort of soak everything up, bind everything up, gel it up to add that bulk to your stool and slow things down a little bit. That's really, really going to come in handy if you have diarrhea.
Absolutely. And these are really, really great tips. I think anybody who's struggling with these things, just start with this simple stuff. It can really make a huge, huge difference for you. Alex, you know, before we wrap up here, what are any just kind of last things that anybody struggling with this type of stuff should know from this podcast?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is you're not alone. Again, like you said, so many people struggle with bloating, constipation, diarrhea, and they don't even realize it. They don't even realize that their symptoms are not normal, or I should say they're common, but they're not necessarily normal. They're not optimal. And we can absolutely get to the bottom of it with those small, very simple changes. Again, it could be just a matter of tracking your food, drinking more water, and really being honest with yourself on how you're managing your stress. How is your sleep? Are you eating, you know, during your back-to-back meetings and not pausing to take a real lunch break? Are you eating enough fiber, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, right? Are we having a wide variety of foods? Because sometimes, even for someone like me, if you're having too much insoluble fiber and not enough soluble fiber, even if you have all of your other ducks in a row, that can still cause issues. You know what I mean? So it does not have to be an H. pylori infection. It does not have to be a gluten intolerance. It doesn't have to be anything that warrants a GI map. Oftentimes, I actually get a lot of clients asking me about GI maps. I'm like, oh, can I order one? Like, I'm really interested. I want to do it. I want to learn more about my body. And I love that. I love that they're so interested in their gut health. But it's not always worth it, if I'm being completely honest, because if we don't have those other areas of our quote unquote stress bucket kind of contained, the GI map's not necessarily going to tell us much. We have to work on stress management first. We have to work on food quality first. We have to work on sleep first, water intake first. And it's not sexy. It's not fun, but it does, it does solve the majority of our clients' concerns. And then they feel better and they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize, you know, I only had to make these small tweaks. And now all of a sudden I'm not bloated and I'm having healthy poops for the first time in my life. This feels great.
Absolutely. And that's such a great point because, you know, I even recently just shared, because we are retesting, I'm going to be doing another GI map here soon to see from the inside out, like how things have evolved and changed since we last did one. And so I posted on my story the other day about the GI map that I'll be doing here soon. And I got several responses back saying like, wow, I need that. Like I've struggled with, you know, XYZ as well. And like, can you order that for me? And I have to kind of explain to each one of them of like, I wish I could just say like, oh yeah, sure, I'll just order this for you and send you on your way. But for many reasons, no, I can't do that. Because guess what? it's not as simple as just taking the test and seeing all this information about, you know, what you might have too much of, what you might not have enough of. It's really truly about starting with making simple changes, getting all your ducks in a row, like Alex said, and then seeing where are the things off. Because exactly like Alex was saying, these symptoms are incredibly common, but that does not mean that they are normal. Guess what? Obesity, incredibly common in the US, but if you, you know, want to be obese for the rest of your life, that doesn't mean that just because it's common that it's what you want to have. So just because constipation is common doesn't mean that you want to be constipated for the rest of your life, that you want to be dealing with that every single time you travel for the rest of your life. But you don't have to jump all the way towards getting something like a GI map. You don't even have to necessarily go to a GI specialist and get, you know, extreme things. Sometimes like you go to a GI specialist and they just are like, okay, you know, you have IBS, go ahead and cut out all these foods, go on your way, come back in 6 months and let me know how things have improved. And then 6 months later, you come back, nothing's improved. You're just probably binge eating more because you cut out all these things and you feel restricted. And now your gut's even more inflamed because you're binging. And you go back and they're like, all right, let's do a colonoscopy. And you do the colonoscopy and you're still not getting answers. And you do these things time after time. You're getting more and more frustrated. You're getting more and more just unclear information. And you still don't know what to do. And you're frustrated and you're lost. Really, at that point, that's when you need to work with a truly integrative health specialist like our coaching team, where we have a registered dietitian on staff. We have Alex to be able to order these things when they're necessary. But we don't jump ahead to that. We look at everything first and we take a truly holistic, just fully rounded approach to be able to figure out what are the next steps that you need to take so that we can actually, you know, not be wasting money also ordering things, but also just get you on your way to feeling better without having to completely overhaul everything about your life too. But
absolutely, 100%
over. Gut health matters, you guys. And I hope that this has been helpful for somebody out there. If you are struggling with these things, please reach out. You know, always happy to chat, see if there's just anything that specifically we can offer you as far as advice. Always happy to get on a consultation call or have a free consult with somebody on our team so we can get you some free advice and information, because at the end of the day, we just want to help. But that's all for today's podcast. Do not forget that we are currently doing a giveaway up to episode 100. We are doing a $250 Amazon gift card giveaway. The only way to enter that is to leave a rating and review on iTunes and or Spotify. Screenshot that review, DM it to me on Instagram at Vanessa G Fitness, and you'll be entered in the giveaway. And as of right now, you have a incredibly high chance of winning that $250 gift card. So I highly recommend you jump on it. But Alex, thank you so much for joining us again, as always. And everybody, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. If you learned something today, the best way to say thank you is to subscribe to the podcast and leave a 5-star review in iTunes. And if this particular episode resonated with you, do me a favor and take a screenshot and share it on your Instagram story. Don't forget to tag me at Vanessa G Fitness so I can show you some love. All right, my carb queens, talk to you in the next episode.